Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. In today's gospel lesson, the focus is first on Jesus, then on the disciples in general, and then the 12 apostles by name and vocation. The movement goes from Jesus' own ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing, from there to the disciples as they go out to do the same things. Now, this is the only place that Matthew uses the word apostle. The striking thing about it is this group of people, remember, this is early in the ministry, at least apparently from the way it's presented. These people are still learning about Jesus and the kingdom of God and what he expects and where he is leading them. And these are the ones that Jesus sends out. Peter, who will deny, Judas will betray, Thomas struggles to believe. They were not all the same. They were all Israelites, but they were very diverse in terms of their perspectives, their political commitments. Matthew is a tax collector working with the Romans. Simon, here called a Canaanian, is many translations called a zealot. They were planning to overthrow the Romans. And yet it's to this diverse, motley group that Jesus gives authority and responsibility, sending them out to do the same things he was doing. What it says in this chapter could be said of Jesus: cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. They're not only to announce that the kingdom is near, but they're also to carry out the tasks that go with that kingdom that Jesus has done. Jesus called them to resemble him as he calls us to resemble him, to act as he acted, to do those things he did, to live out our faith in the same way those disciples were called. Not because we have all the answers, not because we know everything, not because we are the only ones who can do that. This was a motley group Jesus sent out. 12, now admittedly they were part of a much larger group, but these are the 12 we know best, we came to know as the disciples. Jesus also, though, talked in that same passage of his concern for the crowds. Hungry and sick, he said, harassed and helpless, in the face of tremendous needs, distress, and demands. Matthew says simply that Jesus had compassion for them. And he's gathered this group and sends them out in pairs to do their task, to accomplish that which he accomplished. In 1963, there was a movie I remember seeing first years and years ago, not when it originally came out, but later. It was from a novel written by William Edward Barrett. It won an Oscar for Sidney Poitier. It was the first African-American to ever win an Oscar for Best Actor. The story is set in the Arizona desert. I talked to the children earlier about the Sinai desert. This was in the Arizona desert. Poitier portrays an itinerant laborer named Homer Smith. He pulls off the road seeking water for his beat-up car's radiator, and finds a group of struggling, impoverished nuns. They were refugees from war-torn Europe. They're now trying to eke out a living in this dry soil of the desert. The Mother Superior thinks his arrival, by accident, is God's answer to her prayers for someone who will come and build a chapel of adobe bricks. to replace a ruined building that had been started earlier. Homer sees things a little differently. He asked to be paid for some repairs he made around the primitive convent, and quoted Luke, the 10th chapter, "The laborer is worthy of his hire." The Mother Superior responds with Matthew 6:28, "Consider the lilies of the field." As the story goes on, Homer, who is a Baptist, ends up building the chapel. He even goes so far as to find a part-time construction job to help pay for the building. Like the Mother Superior, he also has a dream. He always wanted to be an architect, but he is exhausting himself with this crushing labor in the heat of the Arizona desert. A crucial scene occurs when his dedication inspires some of the Hispanic day laborers in the region to donate materials and labor, and that creates a crisis for Homer. If he lets other people help out, will this still be his accomplishment? Will he still feel that he has accomplished this task he set for himself? And his pride leads him to quit temporarily. But then he realizes that it's his skills in design and supervision that will allow the building to be built, the back-breaking labor being done by those day laborers who are gladly sharing in this, allows him to achieve his goal and allows them to be a part of it. We live during difficult times for a lot of reasons. The death of George Floyd was so extreme it was incomprehensible. The video showed it going on for so long, over 3 minutes after he completely stopped moving, that it produced outrage across the whole political spectrum, right, left, and in between. You had sheriffs and police chiefs across the country, including North Carolina, condemning what they witnessed in that video. Unfortunately, instead of uniting us, however, my brother had said he hoped that that would be something like the church bombing in the 1960s in Birmingham, where the whole country came together because it was so offensive. But the divisive political atmosphere we live in did not allow that to happen. Even though there was widespread condemnation on all sides, there were still all sorts of conflicts based on politics. Too many people have lost a willingness to work together with those who differ from them, and compromise is too often rejected out of hand. We lose sight of the good news. The disciples were different. We talked about tax collector for the Romans and someone who wants to violently overthrow the Romans. Those who deny Jesus or betray him or just struggle to even believe anything. And yet they managed together to accomplish what Jesus sent them to do. Good news is there when we look for it. There used to be a segment on Channel 3 that I loved. It was Good News with Kristen Hampton. And she would regularly find stories of good things that people did or good things that happened. It was my favorite part of the news. I don't watch the news much anymore because I don't really have a favorite part of the news much anymore. It just seems to be all bad news. But she always found a way to find something good and positive. She's no longer with the station, but back in April, she still managed to do a bit of good news. She was getting ready to turn 40 and asked people, instead of sending her cards or gifts, to make a donation to help out with all those who were struggling as a result of COVID-19. And she raised a considerable amount of money, and it turned into a challenge. One of the things she did on her show was to test out things you see on TV that are supposed to be great to see if they really work. And someone wanted her to test the Flowbee, which I have no idea what it is, except that it's something that apparently cuts your hair using a vacuum cleaner to pull the hair out, and then the cutters cut the ends of the hair off. and people voted for her. They could vote for or against when they made contributions, and the fours won, so she ended up cutting off her hair with a Flowbee. I don't know how it worked. But even in her no longer with the station, she still lives that same commitment of finding good news, or in this case, making good news, something to celebrate. And our psalm today is all about good news and wants us to share the good news. It says even to shout. We were all trained not to be too loud, right? Gavin? Don't be too loud, right? Mom and Dad ever tell you that? Yeah. Well, the psalmist says, shout! Shout the good news. Share it with people. Not keep your voices down. Use your inside voice. But shout it out. Shout out God's love. Worship and praise and bless and enter shouting God's love and God's grace. That 100th psalm is well known. The old 100th tune is famous and was known by people centuries ago. A tune that people could sing when they didn't have books or anything, and they would sing that hymn. Rayfon Williams wrote sort of a formal piece for that hymn for Elizabeth II at Westminster Abbey in 1953. It is a beautiful piece, and the choirs would process in singing, "All creatures that on earth do dwell," and sing out the wonder of God's creation. Music is a great way to learn. When we were children, we learned lots of things through music. My son was growing up, my niece was growing up, Sesame Street was there and taught people a lot of songs. In school, we learned the alphabet song. Children in Sunday school learn lots of different songs when they're young, one of which, "Jesus Loves Me." It's a fun song, and people like to sing it even as they get older. The story is told about Karl Barth, a famous theologian out of Germany, back prior to and after World War II. He had given a long presentation on Christianity, and someone asked him to summarize what he said, because he really was scholarly in his presentation. And he thought for a moment, and then he said this, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." There are times when simple words express more than long dissertations of theology ever could. "Jesus Loves Me" was written by Anna Bartlett Warner. It was a poem that was used by her in one of her sister's books, and it was set by to music by William Bradbury, famous composer. I think he was a Southern Baptist, or Baptist from a different generation. She was a Bible study teacher at the Academy in West Point. And it is said that after she taught them this, cadets would go around the Academy singing that song. It was so simple and such a strong witness to God's love and grace. Songs remind us of the joy of living in relationship with God and being joyful in His presence. The power of music can help us remember lots of things. Music is sometimes used to teach a number of different things. The best part about this is that Psalm 100 is the gospel message. The psalmist invites the whole world, all nations, to enter the sanctuary of God to praise God as creator and shepherd. It is for all people. Just as God had told the children of Israel in the desert that they would be His priests for the whole world, so this psalm becomes the gospel proclamation for the whole world. We are to go into the world sharing the gospel with others, inviting them to God's presence and kingdom. The Lord is good. His love goes on forever, and it is for all people. And it's a message for all of us to share for our time and our place. There's a book called Tokens of Trust, An Introduction to Christian Belief. It was written a number of years ago by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. In it, he tells the story of a young Jewish woman named Etty Hillesum. Hillesum was in her 20s when the Germans occupied Holland. She was not especially religious, but in the years 41 to 43, she watched her world descend into chaos. It was, truthfully, a nightmare, and she became aware of God's hand in her life. She was imprisoned in a transit camp at Westerbork and eventually shipped to the gas chambers of Auschwitz. She wrote these words, "There must be someone to live through it all and bear witness to the fact that God lived even in these times. Why should I not be that witness? Even in these times when our country seems to have lost its way, when there is violence and division, when people are struggling with a pandemic and the loss of jobs and the loss of income, even in this time, or maybe especially in this time, someone needs to bear witness to the fact that God lives even now. And why should we not be that witness? Why should we not be that witness? Taking responsibility to share God's believability. Whatever our differences and divisions, we who follow Christ are called to bear witness to the fact that God is still alive and with us, that God's grace is what watches over us, that Christ came to share that good news, and we are called to share it, and it is such good news. Dallas Willard is a writer who wrote that when he was a boy, rural electrification was just starting. Power lines were being strung up across the countryside. And my parents used to tell me about that. I mean, I grew up, and I know that to Gracie and Gavin, I'm really old, but and I am. But I wasn't around when electricity came into being. My parents were not either, but they lived in the rural South. And electricity didn't come to the rural South till the 20s and 30s. And they talk about standing on the side of the road watching these linemen string the poles and the lines up to bring electricity to their little farmhouse, their school, and how excited they were that that was happening. Prior to this, they only had candles or kerosene lanterns, and they had no, we have electrical appliances for everything, and some things I didn't even know you could make an electrical appliance for, like a rug beater. But back then, everything was manual and by hands. And what a better life they were going to have. But suppose somebody just didn't trust that newfangled electricity and didn't want it. And you'd want to share the good news with them, but they were not going to have anything of it. It's all the same to you. We'll just keep doing it the same. We've always done it. Well, maybe the kingdom is like that. It's here. It's all around us. Christ announced it. But it's too easy to get caught up in the world with temporary pleasures, with things that distract us and take us away from reality. But we who follow Jesus need to be driving away demons of doubt and despair, arrogance, cynicism, racism, jealousy, all those things that separate and divide us. Just like that sand I talked about to the children that gets in the middle of everything. Sin gets in the middle of everything. But the truth is, God's grace and love is in the middle of everything too. But someone needs to share the good news that God is still alive, that the kingdom of God is at hand, that God's grace and mercy is as real as it ever was, and someone needs to share it. So shout it out, or at the very least, whisper it and share it, or sing it even better. All the bad news, really, because all the bad news is around us. People desperately need to hear the good news. And truthfully, Jesus is the best news of all. God loves us, all of us, because the Bible tells us so. So sing it, or shout it, or whisper it, but tell it. Tell it, especially in this time, for the bad news seems all around. The good news is still here and still real. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.